This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On the breakfast grill this morning is Jason Lowe, the CEO of TuneTalk. He has been the CEO since 2007.
Good morning.
So that's like 9 years ago. Can you believe it? I still remember the launch date when you guys first launched this.
Who's counting?
Let's talk about TuneTalk per se. TuneTalk is one of the 14 MVNOs or telcos that ride on other telcos. How's it been, the TuneTalk business?
Yeah, to be honest, it has been a learning curve for me personally. It's been quite a journey. I think that we've been very fortunate to have the support of Cellcom, the support of Tony Fernandez and Kamaruddin, my board. They really allowed us to go into the market and do our thing and build a brand. And TuneTalk today probably is one of the brands, I think, that stands for something. You know, we stand for the fighters. We stand for...
So, you know. As of last year, TuneTalk was advertised quite prominently on Air Asia, but this advertisement is no longer there. Any reason why it's no longer advertised on Air Asia?
No, we're changing planes. We're moving our advertising around to we're going from physical banners or buntings to digital. There's a lot that's changing right now, especially in the telco landscape. The telco sphere right now is going to buckle, I believe, under the weight of augmented reality. If you look at GSMA, they're pushing 5G like mad. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're in a panic. Why? There is no 5G right now. I mean, there's no definitive, what I call pop-box, proof of concepts. And 5G is going to be like a light. If you can see the light, then you're going to get service. If you go around the corner, because this thing is running at 40,000 megahertz or whatever, you're going to lose signal. Right now, it's about industrialization of the last mile. And I think that time is coming.
Speaking of which, right, when you have 14 telcos trying to vie for that space, that MVNO space, how do you stand out with each other? Because, if anything, you're going to get cut by price wars.
Yeah. We look at ourselves as not competing with 14 MVNOs. We compete with 19 telcos. When we compete with the other telcos as well. 18, sorry. Let me remove Cellcom. we don't compete with Cellcom. You have to understand from a customer's point of view.
Sorry, there's an explicit non-compete clause for Cellcom?
There's an understanding, of course, that we don't bite the hand that feeds, let's say.
Of course.
And we are part of Cellcom, which is part of the Axiata group. And because of AirAsia as well, and Tony Fernandez, aim to expand throughout ASEAN. Mm-hmm. And later on this year, we're going to launch a really unique, groundbreaking product, which is going to be the fastest mobile data device in the world. We showcased it at the World Mobile Congress in Barcelona. It truly is astonishing. I mean, it's literally, we're taking anything over the air and combining it into one pipe.
Okay.
End to end.
Right. Is this the 8G thing that you guys mentioned?
8G. In actual terms, it should be called 16G. Or
okay. So here we have you just saying that there's no such thing as 5G, but here this is advertised or marketed as 8G.
Correct.
Care to explain?
So 5G has not been clearly defined or clearly determined yet. Essentially, it's 4G plus 1G, yeah?
Okay.
So if you understand it. So 8G is really our way of saying, it was tongue-in-cheek because we have two 4G SIM cards in the device working simultaneously to combine the bandwidth. And in actual fact, the modules we have on the device are four. So we have four LTE modules that will be running simultaneously. So it actually works kind of like, if you can imagine fiber optic cable connected to you. This is even more robust. And we did trials in Sabah recently, in the jungle, and we're streaming 4K HD video, 80 kilometers out of KK, for 2 hours driving into KK to try to count the number of buffers. And there was not a single one. And you have to understand, in KK, in Utan, there's like there's signals of 0.29 for some. There's it fluctuates quite dramatically. So,
The core priority of a company is access to capital and access to market. Right now, access to capital shouldn't be an issue with you guys.
Our paid up was 15 million ringgit.
Right. the problem here is with this 14 MVNOs plus the four telcos, right? 18 players in total. It's indisputed that the MVNO players are mostly prepaid users, and a lot of these MVNOs particularly, they have foreign workers as their subscriber base or forms a large part of their subscriber base.
Yes and no. I would disagree with generalizing because the lowest hanging fruit, so to speak, yes, are probably foreign worker segment, which are easy to grab in terms of if you have a good price point, a good proposition. Because you just go to Jalan Ceylon on a Sunday and you can really capture a huge amount of that segment. But generally speaking, Malaysia is still largely prepaid. at the same time, it's no longer demographics, it's psychographics. You know, my CFO, he's from Kelantan, and he looks like he's from Kelantan, and his Candy Crush score is like 500.
Right.
You know? So the movements and the business logic that you have to use, you have to understand how people are using data, because data, of course, is the main driver now, and how long things take to develop, to move forward. I was saying for years that augmented reality was going to come and the networks would buckle because it can stress the networks. Not because Pokemon necessarily uses a lot of data, yeah, but more so that, like for instance, Pokemon Go, a lot of people use it in such a short amount of time and it surges up. It's the subtleties of business that will define who wins and who doesn't. And, you know, at the end of the day, you need a solid customer care. You know, and Tunto has the best customer care in all the telcos, I believe. You need a solid proposition, and you need to have a strong brand and know what the brand stands for. So people align themselves with brands because of whatever reason. But if you're, 50 years and above or whatever, you're very unlikely to change from your, you know, Max's postpaid to suddenly jump into a prepaid. We are all creatures of habit.
So this morning, I'm with Jason Lowe, the CEO of Tune Talk. Jason, you're speaking about brand. And of course, this ties in quite interestingly with the statement that you made with psychography. And psychography is another step or another notch up from demography. The thing is, brand reach out for specific telcos. For instance, Digi. Mm-hmm. When Digi advertises in the East Coast, they don't use Digi, they use Happy. Mm-hmm. Because people from Kelantan identify themselves a little bit with Happy being, mm-hmm. I don't know, a local brand, mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
And they're generally happier people.
Okay, so what's the brand for Tune Talk? What are the makeup of your customer, ideal customer that you want to have?
Well, we don't have a preference to an ideal customer we want to have. When we first came into the market, we started doing concerts. We did anything from Paramore to Justin Bieber, and my board would tell me there's no ROI. We don't do ROI, we do ROY, retain our youth. Yeah. Why youth? Well, because we focus on youth. They have become the main influences. Gone are the days when the father would say, I'll go and buy a Nokia for my family. Now, mommy and daddy look to the son. Now, the son is usually the technocrat in the family. So the son is one who is mostly into reading the tech stuff, and he will usually tell mommy and daddy, Galaxy S7 or whatever is different from the Note, is different from iPhone or whatever. Hence, we skew our branding towards more of a male focus. So that's why we did mixed martial arts, and we became involved in built Malaysia to be one of the lighthouses of MMA in the whole of Asia, together with 1FC, which is happening every month now. We have built this community. So this is a fighter community, and we fight as well. And aside from that, now we have MISIM, Malaysian Invasion Spirit in Motion, which is about Paralympics, and we went in and supported the para-athletes way before, like Incheon. You know, Incheon, the able-bodied athletes came back, and we came along, and we sent off the para-athletes at 3 a.m. in the morning. And they were like, who are these guys? What are you doing? And like, we gave them X amount, how many thousand, if they win gold, silver, or bronze. And it was the first time, I think, they saw someone from the private sector coming in and offering them cash prizes. So we look for communities where we can align ourselves with, and we look for things that we can build that maybe nobody else sees, the magic in it. And Malaysia has not won a gold ever at the Olympic level.
This is the thing about tying up with all these events and organizations like MISIM, like the Para-Athlete Organization. But doesn't this prove that your board is correct, that it doesn't provide return on investment? What is the monetary reward on your program called ROY, Return on Youth?
Okay, so this happened to my board once when someone said, this is the return on investment. What is the contribution that all these things... I had to go back to page one and say, look, you see all the green arrows? Growth in data usage, 469%. Growth in calls, 39%. The arrows are all going up. We have a base of 1.5 million active subscribers now. We have one of the highest ARPUs in the industry for prepaid. And I believe we have a stickiness to our product that maybe not many people have. Because when the correction happened last year, there was a bit of a crisis in the market where everyone was throwing rates and all that. A lot of telcos, you know, lost quite a substantial amount of numbers. You know, the base would drop 10-15% and then, you know, correct. We managed to hold on with a couple of months of 4% of the churn added, but we bounced back. And even though, you know, we may not be able to throw free, because when these guys throw free, ask yourself, how long is it going to be for? Is it really free? Because I've met many students and they say, I get free data. I'm like, oh, then how much do you pay a month? Free? Oh, I paid $269. I'm like, well, then it's not really free, is it? Something's going on where you're still paying a lot of money. The average revenue per user per month in Malaysia is about 43 ringgit, you know, for prepaid. Why are people paying more than 100 ringgit for their mobile phones? Because they think they're getting a good deal, but they have been commoditized.
This morning I'm speaking with Jason Lowe, the CEO of TuneTalk. Up next we'll be talking about their regional expansion. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this morning I am with Jason Lowe, the CEO of TuneTalk. Jason, let's focus on your regional expansion plans. There's some news reports earlier this year saying that you're training your guns very closely on Indonesia, including a program called Bisa Apa.
Bisa.
Bisa.
Bisa Apa.
Right, what's up with that?
Well, Bisa Pak, Pa, you know. I think...
No, I see now. Okay.
Yeah, you get it, right?
All right, right.
You finally got it.
Yay! God, okay.
I always said, I said this to Dr. Jamal 5-6 years ago, I said, Axiata has a spear called TuneTalk in the group, and the MVNOs are the ones that can penetrate the markets. Because if Singtel were to come into Malaysia, or if any nationalist kind of thing...
like Telkomsel.
Yes, if they came into Malaysia, there would be a natural block, because there would be a kind of, whoa, wait a minute, this is our home ground, you know? So the MVNOs are beginning to penetrate in different ways. Now, this is evident with U-Mobile, you know, which is partly owned by SEC, and in Singapore, they have invested in both fiber and in over-the-air services, which now are apparent cross-border. So I believe that the answer for the future of telco for the region is MVNOs such as TuneTalk, who have a base and have access to AirAsia. AirAsia is a massive, massive country in the air. It flies 66 million passengers this year. It's a great asset for us to utilize if we have a roaming product.
Okay. So is Indonesia your first market and you're going to roll out in other markets as well? Or are you still trying to fix Indonesia
first? No, we actually did roll out in Thailand. But the thing about Thailand was you had to look for regulatory framework and compliance issues, whether the regulators are ready for it. And we launched with TOT, and it was very tough to get up and running because it was cash intensive. TOT were, they didn't use email. We had to kind of wait our time and explore other avenues. In the meantime, we looked at Singapore, so we have always been setting up in Singapore, and now we are looking very soon to be launching in Singapore and Indonesia, but not without the roaming product. This is where it comes into our new device that will cross-border like never before.
Okay, so speaking about these regulators, right, you faced a lot of tough time. I mean, Thailand, even in Malaysia, you were once fined by MCMC for apparently false advertising.
No.
It was in 2013.
We were fined. No, I think we were fined because a couple of dealers did false registration.
Does it hinder the growth of telco? Or
no, I don't believe so. MCMC has and is an organization that leads the way. The other ASEAN countries look to Singapore and Malaysia.
For regulation.
Yes, for regulatory direction. They look to both of us. Because, and MCMC, I've always said MCMC was a trailblazer, is quite smartly run and does have, I believe, what it takes to encourage proper kind of competition in the market. I would like to have seen a cooling off period because, you know, the incumbents had 20 years to stay in the market and prepare for defense. You launch new MVNOs into the market and you have a situation where as more come in, they're trying to gather and go for the lowest hanging fruit. Hence, you have a situation where MVNOs tend to be disruptive, but ignored, because nobody takes you seriously until you hit that 1 million subscriber base.
Yeah.
Before that, it's like, we'll see how long they last kind of thing.
Okay, so this brings another interesting topic on U-Mobile, because they've basically graduated from being an MNO, from an MVNO to now an MNO. They're now settling up their CAPEX infrastructure. They have their own towers, or soon to have.
They were always a hybrid. They were always a hybrid because they always had the license.
For both?
They got the license, I believe, in an acquisition. So they were always looking at a hybrid. They were initially roaming nationally on Cellcom's network, and they switched over to Maxis. And in that sense, yes, they also have an owner who pays in ringgit when they earn in Singapore dollars. So, you know, the state of the exchange rate, the amortization issue long-term outlook was like not seriously materialistic to an extent that they would say, no, let's stop, let's pull out. I think they're going for longevity. And, you know, kudos to them. They focus on data.
That is something that TuneTalk is going to do anyway.
Oh, yeah. We always have. But the financial muscle that we throw behind advertising, we pour into community-based. Okay. And we find that's the most sticky.
Speaking of which, you have two shareholders that quite possibly have a very large market share in their respective industries. We're talking about AirAsia as well as Cellcom and Axiata. Yeah. They're in various countries in ASEAN and beyond. Mm-hmm. In fact, Axiata, through their company e.co, they're in far-flung places, mm-hmm. as far as we're concerned. They're in Pakistan, they're in Sri Lanka, mm-hmm. they're in Bangladesh. Are these far-flung markets any of interest?
Of course. You use the example of Standard Chartered. You know, I remember growing up in Kuching, there was one big Standard Chartered building there. And we were concerned, why would Standard Chartered come to Kuching? Mm-hmm. You know, Borneo, the land of the headhunter. We were a far-flung place. And these countries have incredible potential. And if you want to look at things that are developing in the markets, like in Kenya, the banking sectors, you know, the interbanking, but all the banks are becoming telcos and all the telcos are becoming banks. And if you look at Pakistan and all these, nothing is far-flung these days. Everyone is on social media. Everyone is utilizing data at an exponential rate. Since 2006, data usage has gone up 40,000 times. 40,000 times, you know? That's staggering. And everyone thinks, oh, no, we've hit a ceiling or whatever. We ain't hit no ceiling, man. The moment data gets faster, we're always playing catch-up with the next Pokemon Go, you know? TuneTalk, we've been developing apps and AR games that are going to really be useful. Now, once you find in these far-flung places, and these apps will come from nowhere. And, you know, the big Dells and the big Apples always come from far-flung places or someone's garage, you know? So we can't ignore or we can't look down and downgrade certain territories or whatever. Some of the biggest applications have come out of far-flung places like the Baltics and stuff like that, where you wouldn't even think that it would come from. And now we are all using Facebook, we're all using Twitter, we're all using Snapchat. And every time we think that, oh, nothing's better than Snapchat, nothing's better than Twitter, something else comes along to replace it. And Moore's law is breaking down, you know, the law that Intel law that chipsets become cheaper in 18 months. That's breaking down, or rather stretching into infinity, because right now, every single moment that passes, you have to keep checking the app store. What's the next app? The great thing is we have reached this moment where the incumbents have to be dumb pipes. You must be a smart dumb pipe and not a dumb smart pipe. Mm-hmm. You have to look at yourself and say, okay, we know our place and this is our place. And the one with the biggest dumb pipe is going to win, I think, as an incumbent. TuneTalk ourselves, we have aspirations to become an ISP. And that's likely going to happen. I mean, if not, we're talking to someone in several countries. And the first thing I say is, can we be an ISP? And they say, sure. And some of these guys have a pop in Malaysia. So as we develop, buffet data rates and all that are coming in. And I believe within the next 5 years, you could see an average data charge cost of 1 cent per megabyte.
All right. So still on that ISP, is it going to be launched this year or will you get your approval this year?
I think we are already in deep discussion and we hopefully will have things, the engine and the gears will all be in place by the end of this year.
In Malaysia?
Not in Malaysia, actually. in another country very close to Malaysia.
Singapore.
let's say it rhymes with, kind of. Sounds like that. So there's no reason why not, because ASEAN should be considered one big economic territory. Mm-hmm. I think we are underutilizing and underestimating the consumptionomics. Mm-hmm. You know, ASEAN is going to go from right now 700 million people. By 2050, we will be 3.2 billion. Mm-hmm. Now, the consumptionomics in that is staggering, and the West knows this, and mm-hmm. they are looking to us and they're saying slow down, and we're like, no way, and we're just carrying on, and this is going to be driven. You know, government now realizes finally, right, the direct correlation between data speeds and GDP.
Of course,
right? The faster your GDP, and the difference a millisecond makes. And I can't tell you.
The millisecond makes a difference in terms of GDP.
And yes, it does, because and if you've tried using data in you're trying to be constructive and back and forth, even a few seconds delay or latency, you can see that you just can't get things done.
Absolutely.
You know, and it stops your train of thought, and the government's now realized this, and I think what's going to happen is data rates are pushed down, pressured down, because they want people to use more data. And eventually, in a lot of territories, it's going to be a free commodity. I mean, already, if you look at San Francisco, if you look at Google, what they're trying to do, and everyone, and Facebook, they're trying to give data for free as much as possible, because the name of the game becomes what applications they use, mm-hmm. rather than paying for the first mile. And the issue everyone has is the last mile. Last mile has always been the last game. But how do you industrialize the last mile? We think we've figured it out. And we think we're going to launch that possibility by Q4.
So this radio station has been on air for the past 8 years, and you're the first Breakfast Grill guest that was actually a former radio presenter, just like us, on the Hits FM mm-hmm. Breakfast Show, as well as the Drive-Thru show. How has it been, like, the transition from from being a musician. Sorry, I grew up listening to your music, by the way.
Thanks. And, you make me feel old.
Yes. Yes, you should feel old. And embrace that. How has it been, right, over the past 2-3 decades? This is your transition. And you're a rather high-profile individual. And right now, you're in this part of your career. What's next?
Next, I plan to do something that will change things. Yeah. So next is always coming, I present to my board. I presented to Tony a lot of ideas, and I've never stopped presenting. You know, when I was in Hits, I remember asking David Butterack for a meeting. He was a CEO, and I went to meet him and presented him concert TV and karaoke television and property television, all this sort of thing. You know, and he was like, Jason, do you know how much it costs to run a television channel? And I was like, no.
No idea.
And then I'd also proposed when Pavilion came up. I went to the board. I went to the MP Astro, and I said, look, we've got to have a radio station outside here, outside on the street. You know, where we can have real breakfast shows, and we can have real product launches and all that. And the boss was like, kind of watching cricket at the time. He was like, yeah, sorry, go on, Jason. So you might not be taken seriously. You might be underestimated, and that's I thrive on that. I thrive on people going, you know, I thrive on that part. And I always said, when people say, how can we win? How can we do better? Like telcos, like one telco said to me, I wish we can do better on the sales side. And I said, you know, if you want to do better on the sales side, just hire in two talks entire sales team. It's the best, because you know why? If you're from Maxis Digio Songcom, you go up to a dealer, you say, would you like to take a Hotlink? He'll think, 30% market share. Okay, yeah, good.
Yeah.
If you go up as a MVNO, would you like to take my little tune talk? You know, we got 1-2% market share, 3% market share. Don't wanna. The guy doesn't want to wait. Every 100 people that come to buy top up, only 3 or 4 use tune talk. Mm-hmm. So it is incredibly difficult to convince a dealer to switch over to you, a retailer to switch and join you and partner with you. But, you know, our team is extraordinary. We really fight hard. We've built assets. Every year we have the Ang Pao King. You know, we've built things that are repetitive, and we don't go in like a lot of telcos, a lot of the other competitors. They go in and they come out. Like there was a year where we were doing Rock the World. You know, this year will be Rock the World 16. We dedicate ourselves long term. Mima 4.
16. Okay.
Yeah. So we don't do things half hearted. And it was one year that there was an organization that went in to do a concert which was similar, and all the bands kind of ganged up against me, and Mutz called me, and I thought it was a gotcha. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. He's like, hey man, how come, you know, these bands are getting paid 10 to 20,000? And I said, you watch, they will do it for 1 year and they will stop.
Right.
And we don't do things for 1 year and stop. We keep going. So when I decide personally to do something, I always go long term, and my long term goal is to be useful. Is what the Dalai Lama said. What's the meaning of life? To be useful. And that's kind of my mantra, I guess.
Right. I've been speaking to Jason Lowe, the CEO of TuneTalk. Jason, thanks for coming on The Grill.
Thank you.
This is BFM 89.9. I'm Ibrahim Sani.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.